Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Sean Denzer. The New Testament reading for today is from Romans 16, 17 through 27. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings, has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul writes that we are to watch out for those who cause divisions. It's very interesting. Jesus says that he causes divisions, but obviously Paul's not telling us to ignore Jesus. Jesus says that he has not come to bring peace but a sword, and that his word actually divides us one against another. The question of what you think about Jesus and what you think about his words matters. If you acknowledge me and my words before this generation, I will acknowledge you before my Father is in heaven. But likewise, if you deny me or my words in this crooked generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. So we see that Paul adds something else. Those who cause divisions in the church that we're to watch out for are those who create obstacles that are contrary to the doctrine that we've been taught. To accord with what Jesus says, to agree with him, is to confess his word truthfully. That's what all churches think that they're doing, at the very least. I hope so. Our church certainly believes that the teaching we've received is faithful and true. The reason that we confess and agree with the Small Catechism, with the Augsburg Confession, with all the Lutheran confessions contained in the Book of Concord, is because we find them to be in agreement with the Scriptures. Thus, when a new member is added to our church or somebody is confirmed, we always ask them, "Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church is in accord with the Word of God and that the Book of Concord, the Small Catechism, etc., are faithful teachings?" Paul tells us to watch out for those who are introducing teachings contrary to the Word of God. And he says something rather dramatic. We are to avoid them. This is a passage talking about the distinction between churches, that we're not able to have full fellowship between those who teach differently about God's word. It isn't because we want to be divided from them, by no means. We want to be one, even as God, Christ, and his Father, and his Spirit are one. But we know that where there is a disagreement about God's word, we have to care about God's word enough to say, this is worth agreeing on, and until we're able to come to such an agreement, we have to be distinct. That distinction is viewed most clearly in our not eating and drinking the Lord's Supper together, commonly called closed communion and spoken about at length by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul goes on to talk about those who use flattery, who serve finally themselves with their teaching. Those are the ones that we're supposed to avoid. And he then mentions that the obedience of the Roman congregation is well known to him, and he encourages them to continue in that. He says, first of all, I want you to be wise as to what is good, but I want you to be innocent as to what is evil. That's an interesting saying that he has. It's actually taking us right back to creation. There was no need to experience evil to gain the knowledge of evil, which is all that eating the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil ever could have delivered to Adam and Eve, who had everything very good just as the Lord had proclaimed it. The same is true for us. We don't need to experience more evil, more rot. We don't have to become familiar with it in order to do what is right, so that we can know God better or so that we can appreciate the good of his gospel better. No, far from it. We're to flee immorality. We're to flee sin, and to be innocent of it and to not be familiar with it is not an embarrassing situation at all. It's actually a very good thing. Contrary to that, the peace of God at work in us by the forgiveness of sins and by his gospel enables us to go out confidently, so confidently, as Paul says here, that we will beat down Satan under our feet, that we'll even crush him by all of our knowing of good and refusing of evil, that in fact is a way that Satan is losing constantly. To skip over maybe those who are greeting others with Paul, Timothy, his fellow worker, some other fellow kinsmen. We hear about Tertius, who is writing the letter, that is to say, the amanuensis to whom Paul is dictating the letter. He concludes with a great praise to Jesus Christ, to God the Father, and to the Holy Spirit. He asks that everyone would be strengthened according to his gospel, that is, the preaching that is specifically brought to the Gentiles and to all people. He discloses this then, how the preaching of Jesus Christ is preached not only to those who are expecting him, the Israelites, but also to those who had not been expecting him, the Gentiles. That's the mystery that was secret for once, but now has been totally revealed. And we hear that it's also revealed in the prophetic writings, now through St. Paul and his co-workers, in the apostolic writings as well. Known not just to Jews and those descended from Abraham according to the flesh, but also to all nations. May praise and glory be given through God forevermore through Jesus Christ in our day as well. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is by your grace that we live as your people who offer acceptable service. Grant that we may walk by faith and not by sight in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.